to Texas!
He's a 10.
I choose this family.
Hi guys, welcome to episode 39 of 911 Lone Star Roundup. I'm one of your hosts, Katie, and with me are my lovely co-hosts, Grace.
Hey guys.
And EJ.
Hey everybody.
Today we'll be diving into another 911 Begins episode. Today we'll be talking about Buck Begins, which was season 4, episode 5.
It was so, like, it took so long to get it, but it was so good.
I know.
It explains so much about Buck.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It does. Like, it literally, I just said, as they said in the episode, well, that explains a lot about Buck.
I know. Right. I know. That's like one of my favorite parts. But anyways, yeah, let's get there. So let's get to talking.
Yes, yes.
So this episode starts in 1996, which I love the, like, I love when they did, like, the Jed and Grace Begins.
Yeah,
and they
that.
And, like, I like knowing the dates because, like, I was, like, watching this, like, I'm like, okay, I was a year old and just about a year old, depending when this was in 1996. Like, if it was after September, I was, like, a year old. So it's funny to think about.
Wasn't Jed Begins in, like, 95?
Yeah, because when, it
so,
was.
So Jed is 11 years older than Buck? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to indulge in something real quick. Very quick, because I don't want to take this up. But I was just thinking, like, oh, wait, what was the first date in Eddie Begins? I'm like, 2011? Dang, I wish they'd include some of his childhood, because that would explain a lot about him.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like, if he's the younger, or the middle, or the oldest.
And also, like, I, just going off of the parents, like, I would really like to see if they're just as horrible as we think they are, because they seem horrible.
Right.
But anyway, I said I wasn't going to take it up with this, and I'm not, but I just thought of that. I'm like, dang, we missed out. It was so good, but we missed out.
I know. Like, I feel like it would have been nice to see, like, a couple scenes in that episode of his childhood. But anyways, we're not talking about we're talking not. It's
we
not
could totally do a second episode on anything again, but we don't
need to.
About Buckhead.
Nine-one writers, if you're listening, we would really like Eddie Begins Again, kind of like how you did a Bob Begins Again. Yeah. So if you're listening, please take note.
And I would be okay too if you guys just added it to, like, the beginning of Buddy, like that episode.
Yeah,
like, I'm trying here.
We're really just pitching it here. Like, this is what we want. Anyways,
we're all just going wink, wink. Wink, wink.
But anyway.
Back
to Buck.
1996.
Yeah, it's 1996, and a four-year-old Buck is being taught how to ride a bike by Maddie and stuff, so that she took out the training wheels and stuff, and you see him ride. It's kind of cute, and, like, you see him, like, almost, like, ride into a car, and then, like, immediately, almost, like, a few seconds later, he almost gets hit by a car again, and then he crashes.
And that's a prophecy for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, like, he gets all scraped up, and the parents are, like, super, like, out, like, upset, almost, like, mad. And you see that on the back of the bike, it says Daniel, so you, we know a little bit about Daniel because of the previous episode, but we don't really know, like, what happened to Daniel. We just know that he's in existence.
Yeah,
or he was
in existence.
Yeah.
We just know of him and know that he was the secret brother. Mm-hmm. And I guess the bike was, like, under a bunch of, like, junk in their garage. So obviously, like, it was hidden for a reason.
Right. Yeah. Funny enough, I had never seen the bike plate saying Daniel before, so when I was looking over the notes, there was a reason why it was a couple minutes before I was like, okay, ready, because I was like, now I gotta go back and watch this, because, like, where? And I went and I watched, I'm like, oh, never mind. Yeah, okay, that's interesting. But I'd never seen that before. Also, yeah. I'd just like to say, can we appreciate how they aced the child versions of Maddie and Buck?
Yes, that's what I was just about to say. Like, whoever cast them, great job, because they are, like, could not have cast a better actors for that.
Literally. Oh, yeah. Also, Buck does not look 4 years old. He looks like 7.
I was thinking the same thing, but I was like, because I did the math of, like, obviously how old he would have been based on, like, when he was born, and it was 4 years old, and I definitely don't think he looks like 4 years old. Either he's just, like, a really big 4 year old, or.
Which he's a big adult, so that, like, translates.
It was just.
But also, they probably got an older actor.
Probably.
They probably didn't actually get a 4 year old. So, that's my guess. But I just was looking, I'm like, he's 7 if he's a day. But, no, that he's 29 now, so 4 years old makes sense, but still.
And then we, after that, we flash forward to current day, and Maddie is, it's kind of like the end of the last episode. It kind of continues into the scene where Maddie's showing Buck the pictures, and there just so happens to be a picture of Daniel, which obviously we know from, like, the previous episode that he thought it was himself. He was like, just the way he like saw, he's like, oh, there I am and stuff. And like, I guess Daniel was 7 when Buck was born, and he was gone like the year later, so obviously Buck doesn't remember him.
Also, and that answers our question of how old Maddie is. Sorry, yeah. I was just thinking this because I'd always thought she was like 7 years older, but it looks like she's 8 years older.
No, I thought she was 9 years older, because I remember in one episode, I forget what episode it was, Chimney says something like, oh, there's a 9 years difference. Actually, I think it was when that one guy that, like, planted a bomb or something in the places he worked at, Chimney was spilling the secret to him, since he couldn't tell Albert. Yeah. And he said there's a 9-year difference between them.
No, see, this is the thing that I'm running through in my head, because if Maddie was 9 when Daniel died, then that would have made Daniel 8, because he died a year after Buck was born.
Oh, right. I don't know. It's always so confusing. It doesn't really matter, but I just...
It's just that. Super confusing, but I was just like, well, that basically answers the age difference.
Yeah,
definitely. And yeah, so then this is when we find out that he died from juvenile leukemia and stuff, and he got sick after the photo was taken, and we'll get into that in a second. But I like some of the scenes in this episode. I really like Buck's, like, whatever commentary and stuff, because Buck's just like, this is kind of sad. It's Buck's just like, I don't understand why nobody told me. I mean, I had a brother, and Maddie's like, they were in shock after he died, and I'm like, okay, I get being in shock, but like, you'd think that would have eventually come up.
That's not shock, that is like deliberate emotional avoidance. And like, I can understand to a degree, but to that when it leads into like basically neglecting your children emotionally and like just a whole bunch of other stuff, it's like, okay, you can't get away with a shock excuse. Like, it's understandable, but you can't get away with it. That's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, it's so weird, because, like, we know they moved, like, right after Daniel died, too, so it was, like, they completely ripped them away, almost, like, on purpose, because they didn't want Buck to know.
Well, yeah, that, and they moved just because, like, people, like, kind of almost shamed them for having a child,
Save your baby. They shamed them for having to save your baby. Which, well, I can understand the reasoning. Yes, I would also judge. I'm going to be frank, because, like, you're just having a kid for parts, as Buck said.
Yeah.
And like, honestly, it was like they were trying to get rid of everything that ever signified Daniel even existed, but they couldn't get rid of Buck.
Yeah, like, yeah, and I mean, this is not the first time hearing about something like this, which is why something like, when they said he had leukemia, I was like, okay, this is not surprising at all. I mean, I know of several instances where something like this was done before, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, they did have an option. They literally could have put Buck up for adoption and made Maddie just, you know. Looking at him was so hard, they could have given him up for adoption, because it seemed like they didn't treat him very well. So I feel like it would have been better off for him to have somebody else as parents.
I've seen a lot of fanfics about that. And especially like fanfics about him ending up as like Bobby's kid. And I feel like that might have been an option, but I also feel like at the same time, even though it hurt to look at Buck, they couldn't lose another kid.
Right.
Which was why they were so like weird about all the times he got hurt afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paranoid that he was gonna get hurt and like injured
and not seeing him in hospital or anything like that. Like,
but then like that brings me to even like present day, like Buck had a fire truck explode and land on top of them, and there was no sign of the parents. And I know it happened at the end of season 3, and like there was a big time jump, but like obviously they must not have been very concerned about their son after he became an adult.
No. Oh well, yeah, and we know they never showed just because of the fact that like they like mentioned when they first showed up in town that they're like, oh, Maddie says you've spent like a lot of time in hospitals, and it's like, yeah, where were you?
Yeah, exactly. Like it doesn't sound like they've ever been to LA before. It doesn't sound like they've ever been around when he's been in hospital before. Like, right. No, they definitely weren't around.
So worst parents of the year, I think, is their award.
Yeah. In fact, I think they can claim it for the last 29 years.
Yes. I agree.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Just, you don't like them. Anyway. But that goes on, like, you know.
And I feel bad in this scene because I think he's like, you know, when Buck was asking you, like, why didn't anybody tell him? And then it was like the hurt on his face kind of when he realized that he was created for parts.
Honestly,
pretty heartbreaking.
If the boy's been struggling all his life with like feelings of like negative self-worth, negative self-esteem, all that, finding out that they literally just wanted him for what is it, bone marrow?
Yeah.
That they take, if they just want him for bone marrow,
yeah,
that is one surefire way to shoot down somebody's like sense of self.
Yeah, it totally blows the self-esteem out of the water. I mean, he just. You know, yeah, I can understand as like, because it's very common, like when a child gets like a leukemia or a childhood cancer, oftentimes if they try something like that, they go to like parents and siblings because they're usually the closest match. But, you know, Maddie wasn't a match for him. So instead of looking for a donor, they just made one. And then it was like, that's kind of cruel.
It is, like, honestly.
Okay, I don't say kinda. It was cruel, period.
Honestly, like, I don't ever want to dream about being in that situation. And I can't say that, like, the thought would never cross my mind or something like that. But just, like, just the concept of save your babies is so inherently cruel. Because you don't want them. You're just trying to save one that you already have. And that's like, okay, you're just making a child suffer for the rest of their lives at the expense of someone else. And it's not a win-win situation.
Because to be honest,
yeah, go on.
No, I was just going to say, to be honest, we see that in Buck. Like, he has suffered.
Yeah, he has. He has never, Maddie's been his parent his entire life.
Yeah.
And that's not fair on her either. Mm-mm. Though I will say for a fair portion of some of, like, this episode, I did and did not like her. Just, not didn't like her. I wasn't great about her attitude. But we can get into that later. But she shouldn't have been left to have parented him.
No, they should have, like, and I don't think that it was, like, they didn't treat him well. Not that they just didn't treat him well, but they didn't really treat Maddie as well. Like, they treated her almost just about the same as they did to Buck. It was like their grief was so bad that, like, which at that point I think it's an excuse. I don't care. Like, it honestly just is. Right. It's so bad that they can't even think about anybody but themselves and Daniel. Like, I'm sorry, but
if you'll remember, well, we're going to get into this scene, so I'm not going to go into this too much, but, like, in the upcoming flashback scene, you hear the parents talking, and I think it was the mom was like, we live with a reminder every day. And it's like, by that point, you're like, oh, yeah, we know.
Yeah,
we know they're talking about Buck. And it's like, but yeah, Maddie, they both suffered. And so.
Yeah, she did. She did what she could could, you know, as the older sister to kind of take care of him when their parents were kind of, you know, it seemed like it was the mom more so, because it seemed like the dad was like out of the picture a lot, like gone working.
I kind of felt like she was wallowing.
Yeah.
And he was lost.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I got. And he seemed less intense than she did. Because he made, like, even if they were, like, poor efforts to, like, make up, like, he did do some makeup efforts, like, taking a Buck out for ice cream and stuff like that. Like, you got the sense that he tried a little bit more than she did, but...
Oh, yeah.
Not in the ways that really counted.
After Maddie told Buck in present day... Is that when they had the scene when Maddie tells the parents that, like, they arrive and she tells them that she told Buck?
No, that's the next scene. Like, basically, I'll just go there. So basically, next.
We'll stay on that other scene forever.
Yeah.
So basically, next, present day, Maddie and her parents are talking after she told Buck about Daniel. So I think she was basically just telling them, or they found out, or somehow, like, she's telling them. And, like, the mom's like, what were you thinking? And Maddie's just like, that my brother felt unloved and alone, and I didn't want him to think that it was his fault, so I told him. And she's just like, well, it wasn't your place. And Maddie, this is where I'm like, I love Maddie. Oh, she's like, I'm not a kid anymore, you can't tell me my place. And I'm like, yes, exactly. Like, she is, like, she's 36 whatever years old. Like, you can't like, this is like, even if she wasn't, like, you can't expect her to keep this dark secret, because, right. like, that's just not how things work. And, like, you should have told your kid yourself. Like, come on. Right. Like, this is not, like, it's not about you.
Well, and not at this only point, that. Well, I was thinking, too, like, she, after, like, she moved out of her parents' house, she got married. She had a horrible marriage. And, you know, her parents didn't really seem to be involved in that. And, you know, I know that was some of Doug, you know, he was keeping her away from her family.
Well, they didn't even go to the wedding.
Right.
I also think it was just like, they didn't approve of him, which
mm-hmm. They were totally doing I told you so's.
Yeah.
They hadn't treated her well. Then Doug didn't treat her well. And she's finally, now she's growing and, like, standing up for herself and taking care of herself. And it's time for her to start standing on her own and doing what she thinks is right, not letting other people dictate, whether it's her parents or her ex-husband or Chim or whoever. She's doing what she feels is right.
And not only that, but, like, she's doing it herself. Like, she's doing it independently. But she has got a support system in Chim and right. in Buck, even though Buck's not very happy with her right now. like, and all that. But what I was going to say was that at this point, basically every single hour more that Buck didn't know was just going to hurt him more.
Oh, yeah.
Because 29 years later... That's a long time to wait. Yeah. And so it's like, it was time a long time ago to ace that. And now it's out there. And, screw you parents because you didn't do it.
Yeah. Like, I also kind of thinking about Maddie, I think that, like, because she grew up in this household that was not necessarily, that was very toxic, I would call it, just because. Yeah. The parents were toxic, and like, obviously, like, she probably just wanted to get out of there as soon as she could, and like, then there was Doug, and like, not the best decision, but obviously that's not easy. And also, like, it was probably just like, yeah, well, this seems better, so let me just...
Well, she didn't recognize it as anything but, because where in the world did she have an experience to teach her that it wasn't okay?
And you'll find
yeah. that in a lot of people that end up, not everybody by far, but in a lot of people that end up in abusive relationships, they didn't know how to spot the signs because they were so used to being treated that way anyway, like, yeah. just neglected.
Yeah.
And so it's not very clear cut, to be honest.
And we've only seen, like, the part of like that relationship where they mostly where they were already married, because obviously they only mentioned him in this episode. He wasn't actually like physically in this episode, but you know there are definitely some red flags in this episode, but still you don't get the full picture as if we were to see it.
We mostly get red flags because we already know what happens.
Yeah, so
it was clear Buck didn't like him.
Oh yeah, like 12-year-old Buck's like, I don't like him. Right, and I'm right. Like, mood.
Yeah, he's like, no. So yeah, it's interesting because Maddie is also very young at the scene. I think I expected her to be older, but she's like, what, 19, 20-ish maybe? And so,
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah, I would have expected her to be, like, a little bit older and stuff. Yeah. Like, which I guess, like, timeline-wise, that does make sense how old she is.
But also, that's really sad because that means that she's been in, like, she was in a severely abusive relationship. Or, like, steadily abusive relationship for, like, 15 years.
I know, that's really sad. Like,
Yeah.
Breaks my heart. But the next scene is kind of the scene where we're kind of like, we're like, when does this happen? So kind of continuation of the first scene in 1996 where the bike scene, this is like the after part. So the parents are like fighting, basically like arguing. And the mom's like, oh, like they're arguing. She's just like, I don't understand why you kept it, meaning the bike. We decided, and dad's just like, I know, I just wanted one thing to remember him by. And she's just like, we live the reminder every day staring us at us the in the face. Isn't that enough for you? And I'm just like, I hate that line so much because it's just like, really? You're going to say that when your kid's like basically like right in the same room?
Even if only Buck or only Maddie understood what she was referring to, it's still like, that's blatant disregard for Buck.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I just can't shake that and stuff. And like, Buck is young enough where he doesn't really understand, but like, you can tell that he knows something's up because Maddie's like helping clean up the cuts on his face, and he's like, oh, they're mad. And Maddie's like, they're not mad, they're just yelling because they care too much. And I'm just like, yeah, sure. I mean, he's young, so he doesn't understand. But like, any kid that's like, I would say older than like 2 can understand like tension and like that kind of stuff. So they know that something is up. They just don't know like specifically how. And yeah. I'm like, I like how like the, and this kind of comes up at the end, but like how the Pinky Promise thing comes up, and you just see this like happen over several scenes, and you can see like just how that's like their thing as siblings.
Yeah, like it's as good as like swearing on a Bible, so to speak, to them. Like,
yeah, that's like, yeah, which I think is cute and stuff.
Oh, it's so cute. Yeah. Honestly, I'm just gonna say one thing I've observed a lot in the fandom is that a lot of people have directed a good amount of their anger towards the father, and I think that's because, you know, the mother you're not as likely to direct some of the more anger to. But I'm just kind of like, yeah, he's not great. But if we want to talk about like who's worse, because I'm not doing that very good of explaining what I mean, but like, he just like wanted one thing to remember his kid by. And then the mom is saying stuff like, oh, we live with the reminder every day. Like, yeah, it just feels a lot more like, I'm trying to figure out how to explain it. The Philip feels like guilty, but yeah, she just wants to ignore that Buck and Daniel exist.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I can't really explain it much better than that.
Yeah, they were just going through their own different forms of grief, and
yeah,
you know, Margaret just chose to, you know, pretend it didn't happen and just be numb about it and just move on and just try to put everything behind her and forget about it. And the dad didn't want to do that.
Yeah. And yeah, you know, grief can split a lot of families up because it of can. Stuff like this.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to go through any experience like this, losing anyone you love. And so when people aren't quite always on the same page with it and are going through grief differently, yeah, it can mess a lot up.
Yeah. And then we see this scene with Philip, which kind of makes me, like, I don't like the parents, I'm gonna be honest, but this kind of makes me, like, almost like him in this moment a little bit, because he's, like, to Buck, he's like, oh, let's go go to the store and get you, like, a new bike, and then we'll get ice cream after. And Buck's just like, they really, like, this is what where he's like, they really aren't mad at. And Maddie's just like, told you, it's just what happens when they worry. And Buck's like, yeah. And he gets this little evil, like, devilish smirk. And you know, this is when he starts testing his parents. Because he knows that if they're mad and that, and if he hurts himself, he can get something out of it. This is where this pattern.
This is what explains so much about Buck. Oh my gosh. And that's just like, oh, that makes complete and total sense.
Yeah, like,
and of course a little kid's gonna latch onto that.
Yeah, I've honestly seen that look in, like, honestly, any kid's face. Like, I've seen that look in real life. Like, so much. But then this is where we see, like, this, like, kind of unravel. Like, he then proceeds to, in a flashback, make a ramp with paint cans and goes off on his bike, and he gets scraped, of course. Then a little bit older, because Buck, a little bit older, on a skateboard, he's probably like 10 to 12, I'd guess. And he cuts his face open again. And then, probably around, like, I would say maybe 12 at this point-ish, he falls out of a tree and breaks his arm. And I'm just like, oh, fuck. And this is when that last him falling in the tree kind of goes into present day and them all talking about it, like Eddie, Hen, Buck, and Bobby. And I love see, shall we?
Yes. let's do this.
I'll be Buck.
Okay, of course, I'll be Eddie.
I figured that.
Okay.
I guess we split the last.
I think I can pull off the other two.
Okay, sounds good.
Sorry, we just totally, like, demolish all the characters.
Yeah. All right.
Let's do it. All right. This explains so much about you.
It's a miracle that you even survived childhood.
It's a miracle he survived yesterday.
It was the only way I could get their attention. Guess now we know why. They never wanted another kid. They just had me for parts. Defective parts, it turned out.
Wait, that's not on you.
I doubt they would agree.
Have you talked to them about it?
Well, what am I going to say? Hey, I'm really sorry about your dead son, but can we just talk about me for a minute?
Daniel wasn't their only son. You matter too, Buck.
Sure. Just not to them.
And I can totally see Jimmy walking in with just, like, looking around like, what's going on?
And it's like, yikes. Yeah, because Chimney's in between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, like, I kind of feel bad for Chimney because, like, obviously Maddie's his girlfriend and stuff, so, like,
she takes slight priority over his co-worker.
Yeah, like, so, like, he kind of, it's hard because, like, obviously him and Buck, I feel like they have decently close relationship. Like, I feel like
they do have a brotherly relationship, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, definitely, like, an older brother kind of relationship. But then there's Maddie, and, like, she's dating Chimney, and they're just, you know.
She's not just dating Chimney, she's also heavily pregnant.
Yeah, well, cause that's what I'm trying to get at, is that, like, yeah, they're, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, but, like, honestly, kind of, like, almost like an unmarried but married couple, if that makes sense. Like, they're not married legally on paper, but off of paper, they're pretty much married. Like, she's very pregnant with her kid. They're living together. They're all this. So, it's not a good place to be. And, like, Buck's just, like, to Chimney, like, Oh, don't worry. I don't have to be quiet or something like that. Like, Chimney already knows or something like that. It's just like,
I did not envy him at all. Like, the thing is, you can get both ends of things. Like, yeah, yikes.
Yeah, and, like, Chimney wants Buck to call Maddie, because obviously he hasn't talked to her since he found out this information.
And I'd be honest, if I was in the same situation, I'd be petty and not call her either. Not because I don't blame Maddie necessarily, but if I was in his position, I'd be mad too.
Yeah, I'd be mad too. And, like, whether they told him when he was 18, when he was 12, when he was whatever, he would have been mad either way. It would probably less than waiting 29 years of his life to tell him about this big dark secret, but like, why wait this long? Like, yeah. It's just, and that kind of like Chimney and Buck and that kind of thing, and Maddie, like him wanting Buck to call Maddie kind of leads into the next scene, which is 2004. I'd say Buck's like 12, and Buck gets grounded because he wanted to play football, and he had somebody else sign the permission slip, because obviously the parents are going to sign it because they think he's going to get hurt.
Mm-hmm. And okay, what I understood was that he signed it himself.
Oh, I didn't really, yeah, that makes sense.
I feel like it's either way, though. Like, it could be either. I'm going off of what I thought.
But, yeah, like, I didn't think of him signing himself, just because, like, okay, if you sign it, he probably just forged his parents' signature.
Yeah.
And stuff, because if he signed it himself, obviously they'd know. It's like, that's not the point. You can't just do that. Forged
signature. Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely. That makes sense. And this is when Maddie almost tells Buck about the secret, but then Doug calls. And so, like,
we already knew we hated Doug, but,
yeah, but, yeah, like, and, like, yeah, we're just, like, ugh, because he's, like, checking up on her, seeing where she is, and it's, like,
and, of course, those are, like, bing, 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 bing,
red flag,
because, okay, it's not unusual exactly to have people be, like, oh, what you up to, what are you doing, like, on occasion. But when you have Buck following that up with, he's always checking up on you. It's like, that's not right.
No, it's not. Like, ooh.
It's all about the pattern. Like, a couple instances here and there, maybe not necessarily. But if it's a pattern of things, it's like, and your 12-year-old brother can see it.
Yeah, that's...
And please do not ever see me as this, like, blaming Maddie for anything. But also, just, like... Just in general, like, these are very warning signs to anyone who knew how to look for them.
Right.
Yeah. And, like, the outs, like, where they are in this point, Maddie's showing Buck their old house. And Buck's just like, where are we? And she's like, oh, we used to live here. He's like, when? I thought we always lived at Hershey. And, like, this is when, before Doug even calls, she was going to tell him. Like, we at least can imply that she was going to tell him, but she didn't because she got the call. And then this is when she changes kind of it and was like, oh, yeah, I do have to tell you something. And she's like, oh, I'm moving to Boston with Doug because he got into medical school and she's going to go to nursing school or whatever. And I'm just like, oh, dear.
Yeah, that's
when it starts.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's... And like,
that's not good.
Yeah, it's not. And Buck's just like, well, I'm never going to see you, and then I'm going to be stuck with Mom and Dad. And Maddie's like, oh, I'm only a phone call away, and I'll visit Pinky Promise number 2.
Yeah, Pinky Promise number 2, yeah. Oh, man. It's like, yeah, you don't know it, but you're not going to be visiting much.
No, like, I think at that point, like, when they moved back, he hardly saw her. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, yeah, it was just one of those.
Yeah. This is always, like, this is why I'm always, like, I'm not sure we need, like, a Maddie Begins or anything, because we are seeing so much of how she evolved to this stage through Buck Begins.
Yeah, I mean, And in season two, we did get, like, flashbacks of, like, kind of her and, like, Doug and stuff. Like, we saw little bits and pieces. Yeah. And I feel like at this point, like, we know, like, that story. And then we know, like, Buck and hers growing up to an extent. I feel like a Maddie Begins wouldn't really be necessary. And I honestly think they even tried to do one. I don't think it would be that interesting because we know pretty much everything.
Precisely. Like, it'd just be like, okay, so next week? Yeah, waiting for that. Sorry, that was completely off topic, but it's just, like, jumped to my brain. All that is to say, it's interesting to see her evolution alongside his.
Yeah.
Though to some degree, it's almost like a de-evolution for both of them.
Yeah. Yes.
Man.
Yeah. And then Maddie shows up present day because Buck had been voiding her calls, as he should, what I'm going to say. Because, like, come on.
He needs some space.
Yeah, that was the one thing I didn't like, and why I was, like, a little annoyed at her for some of the episode, because it was, like, give him space. Like, you're not allowing him time to process to, like, he's grieving for a brother he never knew and grieving a life that he should have had. Like, he's going through a lot right now. Maybe just, like, extend a little bit of grace to him.
Give the man a few days to, like, you know, let this blow over. Let him work through his emotions. Let him have a moment. Because, like, come on. Just give him some time. But, yeah, so she shows up. And Buck's, like, obviously mad. And then, like, then the bells go off. And Buck's gone.
Like, okay, yeah, this is not going to go well.
Yeah, and then they get to this crazy 5-11 fire at a hand sanitizer factory, which apparently before used to be a perfume factory, but they had converted to a hand sanitizer factory because of the pandemic. And I'm just like, okay, like, you know when you see this, okay, this is not going to be good. Like, the no, this is not, like, this, that was, like, one of the most exciting parts of the episode. Like, it's terrifying the first thing you watch. I mean, you know that nothing's going to happen, but you're also like, ah.
Well, we know nothing permanent's going to happen.
I need, I'm like, Fox, 9-1, I need you to not hurt Buck, because I don't need him not being able to work, because we know how that went last season.
On top of everything, like, that would just be way too much.
He's been hurt way too much. Like, give him a break.
And yes, we have them refocusing that that attention on Eddie this season, but we'll take it. Anyhow, but it's like, oh dear, we just know that somehow this isn't going to go well.
No, it is not. Yeah, and then so, like, Chimney, like, tries talking to Buck, and.
Okay, I have to be honest. Like, he did this at the scene of the fire. I'm like,
maybe not the perfect time.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, bad timing.
Like, I get wanting to get stuff out of the way before you go into a situation where who knows what will happen. But also, like, the boy's already struggling right now. I don't think he needs an even more fresh reminder.
But I do like what Buck said to him.
I do too. Like, so, like, Chimney's, like, saying how he can't run away from this forever, and he's like, sure I can, it's the Buckley family way.
I'm like, true.
Mood.
Nope.
It's true. Sadly so, but true. Yeah.
Yeah. And then continuing from the last flashback, after Maddie and Buck basically get back home, and Buck's just, like, talking to Maddie, and he's like, it's gonna be weird without you. Do Mom and Dad know yet? And then you just see the parents come out, and Phillip's just like, Maddie, we need to talk. And Margaret's like, Doug called, he told us about Boston. And Maddie's just like, oh god. And Buck's like, she's going to nursing school, you should congratulate her. And Margaret's like, oh, don't be stupid, Evan, this is not good news. And I'm just like, don't be talking to him like that.
Yeah, that was like, what did you just say to him?
Yeah, like, oh my god, like, I get that, like, I honestly don't get the parents. Like, I get, like, I can understand if they were concerned, But, like, they didn't really show... They just showed anger. They did not show concern. And then this is where we see Buck, like, spiral. So he goes off on his bike. And he is obviously hurting because his only parental... good parental figure is leaving him. Like, now he's stuck with his parents who could literally not even look him in the face half the time.
And literally, like, the only person he has on his side for whenever he does something or anything like that. It's like, her leaving sets a lot of things in motion that's just like, well, this makes Buck, but maybe not a good thing.
Yeah, honestly. And, like, that scene goes on to the next scene, which is basically a 20-year-old Buck on a motorcycle and basically just crashes it. Let's just be real.
Yeah, I'm just like,
it went from one scene so quick to another, which you just show how he's, like, aged and stuff, and you're just like, oh, yep. Just about the same kid, just older, bigger, and more angry.
Yeah. And it's definitely like, oh wow, this kid is like not a kid anymore. Snap, and suddenly he's older Buck. And this is where you're like, okay, hi Oliver.
Hi Oliver, yeah.
But again, we gotta say that every stage of like kid, they aced those actors. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really perfect. Like, they couldn't have done better.
They couldn't.
Yeah. And back to the fire. So, like, they're at the fire, they're about to go in, and Buck's just like, you could tell that he's working through some shit. Is all my brain was thinking when I was watching this first time. Like, you could just see the adrenaline, the rage, just like, he needs to work through stuff, and I guess this is the way to do it.
I guess. Obviously, punching bag didn't work last episode.
I forgot about that. Like, okay, so when I was watching this yesterday, I was like, when does the punching bag come in? And then I was like, oh wait, that was episode 4. Damn it, I really want to see that again. I don't know why just did.
I mean, it's very satisfying, because you... we're just going to backtrack an episode briefly here, y'all. It's very satisfying, because you just have, like, Buck taking out his anger and punching bag, and there's just Eddie standing there, like, very mellow. Like, completely unfair.
Much of a parallel to, what, 201? When Eddie was being the one punching the bag.
Of course, that was, like, less of anger, more like, okay, that boy got moves. But, yeah.
Yeah,
I forgot about that.
I just kind of love, I will always love his response to Buck. When Buck's just like, she's worried about me, kicks the bag so hard that like the whole thing shakes, and Eddie just walks away going, I can't imagine why.
I can't get Eddie mood. The reason why we love that is Buddy.
And also just, I love the absolute sass in the reply, like, I can't imagine why.
Yeah, literally mood.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to the fire.
Back to this episode.
So Bobby and Eddie go off together in one side of the building, and then
I'll be honest, as soon as Buck and Eddie split up, I'm like, oh, this isn't good.
This is not good.
Eddie might be the only person who can either talk look out of something stupid to do,
or defy him
to keep him from like
people that can keep Buck from doing something stupid. I feel like there are only two people could do that, and that is Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Being that it's his father figure and boss, and Eddie, just because it's Eddie.
You notice Eddie and Bobby went together the opposite way.
It's like, oh no, Buck's only hope of sanity's gone.
Yeah, but Buck is with Hen and Chimney, and then they're supposed to pair off with like the other fire department that was responding to this, because obviously like a 5-alarm fire. It's
and
like
I think this is the first time we see Captain Meta.
Oh yeah,
is it?
I like him. Mm-hmm.
I think so. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he's a good.
With the 122?
133, I thought. Because I'm remembering Survivor. And I'm trying to remember what episode number they, or what station number they said. I think it was 133, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I can't either.
There's a 3 in there somewhere. That's all I know.
One something. Anyways.
So
basically, long story short, Bobby reports that they get separated. Like, they lost 2 of their guys, so they get separated. So Buck's just like, he's like,
yeah, 133. I looked it up. Sorry.
Cool. Yeah, so Buck's just like, oh, I should go. And Hen's like, that's clear across the factory. And Buck's just like, they lost you guys. We got plenty here. I should go. And Hen's like, you're not wrong, Buck. I don't say that very often. Go. And I'm just like, I love that line so much.
I love it. Also, I thought it was very interesting, like, because Hen kind of seems to be the one a little bit more in charge here, and it's like, because typically you're seeing Chim be like the bus scene, he's a senior paramedic.
Uh-huh.
So, like, if Bobby's not in charge, you typically see Chimney. And so that Hen was the one that gave the all clear. I'm like, okay, I sort of like this.
It's just like, go. I mean, yeah.
Then again, I'm not sure Buck necessarily would have talked too much to Chimney.
Yeah.
I don't think they're so bad off that they can't do their job together, but it's like, probably still best that Hen was the one.
Yeah, I honestly don't think Buck was asking if he could go. He was just gonna go either way.
Oh yeah, they knew.
They kind of knew that. Like, they knew they couldn't stop him, and that he was probably gonna go either way. That they said,
right,
sure, go, or like, no, you have to stay here. Like, you can't just separate.
So I'll be honest, Hen probably had more of a chance than like anybody of getting him to stay if it was really needed.
Yeah,
just because she's just that kind of person.
Yes, she really is.
Yeah.
But
flashback.
Yeah. Flashback. 2012. So Buck's 20. This is like motorcycle Buck. Same thing. This is actually like after, because he got patched up at like another hospital, and Maddie is a nurse at this place. I couldn't get the vibe if it was a hospital or urgent care. I couldn't really tell. I
kind of seemed like just a small, like, community hospital. Like, it wasn't very big.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't tell, because, like, you couldn't really get the vibe if it was, like, that kind of hospital or if what it was. Like, I couldn't really tell.
Well, okay, so I remember where she works. Mercy General Hospital.
All right.
Because you get it said, early part of season 1. Of course I know this. Or of season course. 2. Of course I know this. And I remember when Doug called her and freaked her out the first part of season 2, it was Mercy General Hospital on the caller ID. Mm. I still want to know how they worked that one out. Anyway, he was working in a hospital, a general hospital, but it looks like it could have been like more of a small hospital. I'm actually looking up to see if there's a real one. There are variations of the name Mercy General Hospital.
I mean, yeah, I feel like it's a pretty common name for like hospital. Like, I feel like I've heard that before.
There's like a University of Pittsburgh Medical Center Mercy Hospital. That's so long. Anyway, so yeah, I feel like they just kind of twisted a name, or maybe I wasn't even looking in the right place, but they're back from Boston by now, so that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's in Pennsylvania, so I was looking in there. But anyhow. Yeah.
And, I mean, we do know at one point she did work in an ER, so, yeah, like, this could have been after that, too.
She might have switched hospitals, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly. And so, basically, we know
that... I had to pause. Buck kept sending her postcards afterwards, and he wouldn't have known to have sent them to another one, and she kept getting them. So I think theoretically she was in the same one, and it just looked like a smaller hospital, but she was in the ER.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She could have like worked in another, like not in the ER in the same hospital, then worked in like other units. Like, true. It almost gave me like a vibe that she might have worked like in pediatrics or something at this time.
Maybe. Or
Yeah.
Questions for the future. No, yeah. I was thinking, because I, for some reason, I thought she worked in the same, she worked in the ER of a hospital where he was a doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things she could have done. But anyways, so she, like, her coworker was, like, saying how some kid keeps saying that he pinky sweared. So Maddie knows right off the bat that that's Buck. So she goes and finds him. And, like, so we see Maddie. She has, like, a broken wrist or something because, obviously, the abuse and stuff. And this is where we see physically, like, things of, like, abuse where before we just had, like, those red flags. So, yeah, and, like, Maddie, like, so, like, Maddie goes and sees Buck, and, like, you know, like, he's already patched up, but he had to see her, because, like, obviously he can't just, like, stop by her house, and he kind of knows that, but, like, she will never, like, she kind of blows it over, because he wants to stay with her, because he can't handle being at home with the parents and stuff, especially since, like, he crashed his bike, and, like, he's not, like, thriving in life currently.
Yeah. No, I totally get I totally get why he wouldn't want to go back. I've been there.
Yeah, honestly. Mm-hmm. Same. Yeah, like, and so, like, Maddie's like, oh, well, we're, like, you know, like, things are complicated at home, where, like, whatever, she just blows it off, and Buck's just, like, the main line that I was just like, oh, Buck's, like, saying that his parents think that he's a loser, and he's not going to make something out of himself. And he's like, I'm gonna do something, I just don't know what it is yet. And I'm just like, that's relatable.
That was so sad.
That was so sad, but relatable.
That was a tough line.
Yeah, it was so tough. Like, I was like...
Yeah, it's just cry. Like, and it's so relatable for a lot of people, because, you know, he's 20, okay? I'm 19, and I am a lucky person who has semi-figured out what I want to do the rest of my life.
Yeah, honestly.
That's it. Like, right. A lot of people still don't have that, and that's okay.
Yeah, like, honestly. But yeah, and then we go back to the fire, and Buck kind of gets an order from Captain Maida to leave, and does he listen? No, of course not. Of course he doesn't listen. It's Buck we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like, he, like, tries to get to Bobby and Eddie, but he does not quite make it there quite yet. And yeah, he stays in. Of course he does. But yeah, after the hospital scene, Buck does end up going home, and he gets yelled at by his mother, and she says, like, something like, children die, and Buck is just like, what does that even mean? Like, what the heck is my mother saying right now?
And this is one of the most blatant things that they've said to him.
Yeah.
Referred to Daniel, and he's just like, what?
Excuse me?
I don't understand.
Yeah, like, it's, and I'm just like, oh, these parents, like, God, please. And then we just see Maddie pull up, and Buck could not sprint off fast enough. He's just like, bye.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Peace.
Like, peace out. Yeah. Yeah, and, like, so Maddie, like, shows up, and they, like, pull down the street, and Maddie, like, is just like, get out, and she gives him the keys to the Jeep so he can get away from his parents, and Buck asks her to come with, but, like, deep down, you know she's not actually going to, and I mean, we do have that background just because, like,
we know she didn't come with
him. We know she didn't, we know they hadn't seen each other in years when she showed up in LA.
Right.
So, yeah. But she
still laugh about how she showed up too.
Yeah, it was funny.
Oh my goodness, they'll never be able to get that out of their minds.
It was funny, but, like, yeah. But yeah, she does, like, in the moment agree, but we all know, like, obviously we know, like, what happened, so we know that she doesn't actually, but I'm just like, and then we're almost to my favorite part, but, like, we know, like, when we go back to the fire, that Buck finds a person, but they get trapped. And then that's, like, then we get to my favorite part. Like, I'm not even gonna give that moment, like, enough airtime. I'm so, like, yes. Okay, so this is my favorite part of the episode, when we see, like, the different things Buck does. and stuff. So, like, we started off back in 2012, so, like, right after he gets the keys to the Jeep. And, like, so this is when he leaves, and he goes to pick up Maddie, because they were supposed to leave, I guess, that, like, that next day. So, like, the next morning. And she leaves him a note saying, like, how she thought she could leave, but she couldn't. And she kind of hides out, and her coworker just gives him the note. And Buck is just, like, so disappointed. I'm just, like, I feel so bad for him.
Oh, yeah. And I'd be the same way. And obviously, he doesn't know what happened. And we don't either till the end of the episode. But we are just, like, I think anyone can kind of take a guess, though, what's happened by this point. But, yeah. Like, Buck doesn't know. And he's just, like...
Right.
He's upset, and I was just like, baby.
Yeah, like, it's so sad, but, like, I love seeing, like, what he does, like, over this, like, I think it's, like, 5 years where he kind of, like, jumps around. So, like, his first postcard comes from Georgia, and, like, he had at that point, like, been traveling up and down the East Coast, just picking up odd jobs, and then at that point he ended up in Georgia, and you can tell, like, in the, like, voiceover he has, like, a southern accent, and I just think it's the funniest thing. And he's like, I haven't found, like, a place yet, but I've met some cool people. And Book asks Maddie, he's like, have you left Doug yet?
Oh my god,
it's not supposed to be funny, but, like, it's just, like, it's, like, weirdly funny.
It's relatable. That's yeah, what it's,
it, it, it,
relatable.
Is, it is.
Yeah.
Okay, it's funny that you say he has a southern accent, because I have a southern accent.
Yeah.
And I have never heard it. I think it just kind of, if he did, because obviously he's a northerner. He wouldn't have developed that strong one. So a slight southern accent like me. Just me talking about southern accent, like, I have it coming out slightly.
Honestly, yeah,
it's just, like, I can't hear it. I've never heard that.
Yeah, well,
now I have to go back and listen.
Yeah, no, it's also just, like, okay, so, like, people, like, where I'm from, people, like, go to Pennsylvania, people be like, I know where you're from, which is so weird. Like, I don't know, it's just so weird to me. And so it's just, like, one of those things where you don't know. So then, in the next letter, Book ends up in Virginia Beach. He had just finished school, and he was like, I finished school! And then he's like, bartending school.
I'm like,
it's so funny.
So Book.
He's like, I'm the coolest mixologist in Virginia Beach. I met this girl who likes to surf, and I started learning. I really like the ocean. Maybe it's because I never got to see it as a kid. And I'm like, oh.
First of all, I find that really sad that they never took their kids to the beach, but also I'm never not surprised.
Yeah.
But, like,
I don't know. Like, I'm assuming they have, like, decent beaches there. I feel like it's where I'm from. Like, there's not really.
I mean, you know, East Coast beaches completely different from West Coast beaches. And I've never been to Pennsylvania, to my knowledge. Maybe when I was a very small kid, but I think we only went to New York once. But it's like, yeah, so maybe it could just be a thing where Hershey is far enough from the ocean they never went or something, but I'm still, like, at the same time, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically,
yeah.
He knows how to swim.
Yeah,
right, we can probably attribute that to Maddie taking him to the community pool.
Honestly.
Probably.
Yeah. Then postcard 3, he's in Florida. He stopped bartending and surfing. The thing didn't work out with the girl. And
okay, it sounded like there was such a cringy story behind that. I'm like, okay,
what? I know, right?
Yeah. And he's doing construction now. And I think it's funny, Florida, because when in the crossover, when he's like, oh, it feels like I was slapped with a towel, people are like, Buck, you lived in Florida. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Guys, I don't think he stayed there very long. Maybe he, I don't know, like, I don't, like, people always say that, like, Texas heat prepares you for Florida heat.
Yeah.
So,
no.
I don't know.
Very different kinds of heat, honestly. And, okay, I'm just gonna say, I think you guys will appreciate this. Every single postcard, I'm like, and that is an explanation for why Buck's biceps are so warm. I'm sorry, construction worker?
Yeah.
Steel?
working on a ranch.
Okay.
Not bartending, but anyway. Unless you're some like serious
contagion. Yes, yes. So then, yeah, the next one, he is in Arizona. This is when he wants to become a Navy SEAL, and he says that he doesn't have to fully enlist. And he's like, Amy, you know how much I like the ocean?
I'm just loving how they're making the ocean like a thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like, of course he goes to California. Like,
and then he gets trapped in the tsunami. I wonder how he feels about it now.
I want them to explore yes. that, honestly.
Yes, yes, like, honestly.
I want it.
Oh yeah. The place
is he got trapped in the tsunami.
Jeez. Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. And then like the places he goes are just so random, because then he ends up in Montana, in Billings, yeah. And
there's not much there.
Yeah, no, there. I've never been there, but I do know there is not that much there.
I've been through there.
It's a decently small town. Like, I think the population is, like, 30,000, maybe. It's about around the size of, like, my town and stuff, but anyways, he quits the SEALs, and he is working on a ranch. I'm sorry, but I cannot see him working it. Like, that's just so random. I mean, I guess that's a point.
And I require proof of seeing him ride a horse.
Oh, 100%. Oh my god, they need to do that now.
I wish they had included that as a photo, because obviously that's, like, a stereotypical cowboy thing, but it's true. Like, that is a way you do it. And I require proof of him riding a horse.
Yeah,
absolutely. I sort of can see him being a cowhand or a ranch hand.
I mean, I can
really, because that's not a foreign concept to me. But it's like
it's funny to think about.
It's funny to think about just overall, because it seems like so freaking random. He goes to the most random places and gets the most random jobs.
yeah,
but it's also like he looked good in that cowboy. Yeah. Fun fact, for the longest time when I was younger, I wanted to move to Montana. I didn't even know why, I just randomly wanted to move to Montana.
I think one of my good friends, I'd have to ask her, but I remember her saying, because her dad was like in the military, so she moved around a lot. And I feel like she said at one point she lived in Montana, because I remember her saying something about, like, in the wintertime, how, like, if, like, the snow was so bad you couldn't drive to school or something like that. I feel like she lived there. I don't know. That's a random fact, but, yeah. Anyways, then the next postcard is Oregon, and
PNW. Northwest.
Yeah. He made it back to the ocean. He's like, it's too cold here. I'm going to be thinking, he's like, soon enough I'll probably be moving. I'm thinking about checking out Peru.
I relate to Maddie going, Peru? Why Peru?
Yeah.
Hashtag random.
We want to talk about random. Like, okay.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I want to be a mixologist again. An old ranch buddy of mine tends bar down there. So 2015, yep, Buck goes to Peru and he's bartending. And just behind him, you see him like really invested in this show or movie that has firefighters in it. And you could tell this is where he gets inspired. And then, and then you have this guy talking to him that he obviously met while bartending and stuff. And like, he's just like, oh, you like the movie? And Buck's just like,
Oh my gosh. So, hashtag random. A couple weeks ago, I saw somebody had created like a little video on, I think it's Twitter. And it was, they'd taken Ryan Guzman in, I think it was one of the Step Up movies where he was in Miami at the bar. And
oh, I know what you're talking about.
In this scene, and they mashed it together to make it look like Eddie was coming up to talk to Buck. Like,
it was so good.
Yes, it was. And I was like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah, I think I saw that one too, and I liked it. Sometimes I hate when people do like stuff like that, because it's like kind of blatantly like, we know this was not that. Yeah. And like, it's kind of like, what are you trying to do here? But I don't know, I really liked it. But I like,
yeah. But it was really good. They did a really good job with what they did, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, that was one good edit.
Yeah.
And then, like, I like the conversation they had, because the guy's, like, saying how, like, like he was thinking about going to LA with like some of his like friends, and like Buck was like looking at his friend and he's like, you all live together, and he's like, yeah, it's kind of like family, and he's like, you go, we go, and I'm just like, this is like when you see Buck like kind of get a vision of like family that isn't blood, and I'm just like this is the moment.
Yeah, I kind of love that, because it's like, oh, okay, like he's like family. Because he wants a family.
Yeah, exactly. And, like,
and I'm sure for a while they were what he needed. Obviously, we know by the time season one starts, like, things are happening. But at that time, I'm sure that's really what he needed. So, like, yeah.
Yeah, and I, like, when he asks him if he likes a movie, and Buck's just like, tell me about LA.
Uh-huh. I love it.
Yeah, and then we go back to present day. But I love that part, and actually, if just something random. So yesterday, I was like, I'm gonna print out a map. I'm going to mark all the places Buck went and write down the years to my knowledge. And I'm going to map where he went. And maybe I'll post a picture of it, because it's honestly like it's everything. Honestly,
you should post that as the episode cover.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll do that.
But or at least part of it.
You know? I will. Yeah, I'll put it with that. I think that would be good, because it gives off like such like to see where he went and like how far. Ugh, it's everything. Like, I'll be honest, it's everything. But anyways, so like at the fire, they wake Buck after like the explosion. He kind of wakes up, and the guy is like crushed by something. The guy he's trying to save. And, like, Buck's trying to move it, and the guy's just like, it's extremely heavy, or something like that. And, yeah, I'm just, like, mood, because Buck's just like, I can move this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then it's funny, because everyone gets outside, minus Buck, of course, and Chim's just like, where's Buck? And Han explains that, like, he went to find Bobby and Eddie when they lost you guys. And then you hear Buck, like, reporting on the radio. And Matt is just like, Buckley, did you ignore my direct order to evacuate Bobby's? Like, he does that sometimes.
I love that line. I'm like, Bobby knows him so well.
He's like, yeah.
He's like, why am I not surprised?
Because you know there's just a few episodes every season. There's at least one episode where he does something like that. And Bobby's just like, oh dear, look. Actually, one moment recently he did that was obviously after Eddie had got shot, and there was a sniper out to get all of them, and Buck just, it's like, where's Buck? Up there.
Yes.
Oh boy. But basically, like, after that whole thing, like, Buck got, like, the last, like, basically the sanitizer had ignited all around them, so they're kind of just like, oh boy. Yeah. And, like, there's explosions, and I was just like, oh shit, this is really happening.
Yeah. They're like, oh no. Also, can we just appreciate that in this, I believe it's this scene. No, it's next scene. I was going to comment about the fire marshal, but we'll save it till then.
So yeah, now we're like 2017, so like this is kind of where I figured out that this was like about like 5 years of him like traveling.
Yeah.
And this is when he's a probationary firefighter. And I'm like, season one book. We do not miss you. I'm sorry. I like seeing, like, I really like this episode. I really love Buck Begins, and I like seeing the story. But, like, I don't like season one book. None of us here like season one book.
Particularly season one episode one book.
Right. Yeah, he had a little chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, I just
there are parts of him I like throughout season
one. Oh no, I agree.
We do not acknowledge episode one, season one, Buck.
No,
but it was cool that they were able to go back into the archives of 9-1-1 and use some of those scenes from early on.
Yeah, I think
I liked it.
Yeah, I think they used some of the same scenes, but then there was a couple that they like shot newer scenes of to kind of give the picture.
Yeah, and Buck was wearing a hat, so you can get away with that.
Oh my god, yeah, it was so, he looked good, I'm gonna say that, like, I don't say that often, but he did look good. And I really liked, because obviously we've seen this scene where, like, he's asking for Captain Nash, and Bobby's just like, do you know Captain Nash?
Oh my goodness. I swear, if I enter a fire station one day and they do that, I'm just going to, like, dead-ass stare at them, like, okay, can we get to the punchline, please?
Yeah, literally.
Like, I'm going to make them so mad at me, just because I'll just be like, I am. I'm not going to freak out. I'm just going to wait for you to sort yourselves out.
Yeah. And Buck, I really like him sitting down for the first time with them, and he's like, I think I might be in the right place.
And I'm like, yes, you are.
Yes. We love Thriving Buck.
Honestly, watching that scene, it's hard to remember why we don't like season one. Then it's like, wait, season one? Oh, wait. Yeah, that's why. Never mind.
Yeah, if you ever want to know, I think you can figure it out, but...
Also, like, him being like, there are three other Evans in my class, I'm like...
Oh, yeah,
why don't I give my kids something unique, but, like, also not haunt them for the rest of their lives?
I can't really say anything about that, because my name is definitely far from unique, but honestly, the three Evans reminds me of my brother yesterday, his new job. He was like, yeah, there's a lot of Joes there. And I was just like, that's the most basic name. Of course there is. Sorry. Oh,
when I was in fourth grade, there was four Aarons in my class.
Yeah,
so I get
it. Yeah.
So when I was younger, see, when you grow up in a church environment, there are going to be other Graces. I'm just going to say that in specific. Yeah. Like, and of course, even when there are not other Graces, whenever someone says Grace in the sermon, I'm just like, what?
Right, you know, right.
That's fun. But there was this girl who had my name backwards. So I'm Grace Victoria. She's Victoria Grace.
Oh, that's funny.
And we were good friends for years. It's been years since I've even really, like, seen her at all. We fell out of touch when I left that church at 10 years old. But, you know, good friendship for, you know, before 10 years old. But it's like, yeah, you know, that shit happens sometimes.
Yes, yes. But yeah, like, that was just funny because I was just like, yeah, of course there's three Evans. I can't really say that I've ever known an Evan in person, though.
I feel like I've heard the name before, like, connected to somebody else, but honestly, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I've obviously heard of the name Evan, but I don't think I, like, went to school with Evan, to my knowledge, at least. Anyways, but yeah.
You hear it enough that it's a common name, but at the same time, it's like, have I met one before?
Yeah, honestly, but yeah. At the fire, like, the guy asks Buck what he's looking for, because he's obviously looking for something, and Buck's just like, I was a fire marshal once. It's a factory. They're required to have fire extinguishers 3 feet off the ground. And I'm just like, well,
can we just, like, acknowledge the flex in his fire marshal? Like, yes, boy.
Like, that somehow a little bit paid off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, he may have been one of the most annoying fire marshals
ever. Right.
But, like, we know he was good at it.
Did you, what was the check mark? Like, I've never seen anybody write a check mark with so much enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Yeah. And then, like, Buck gives the guy his mask, because obviously he starts, like, getting to the point where he's, like, not really breathing great, and I'm just like, Buck, don't do it.
I mean, yes, that's sort of, like, I don't know exactly what procedure is yet, because I haven't trained, but it's like, it stands to reason, you know, it just kind of stands to reason that's what you do, but also at the same time, don't.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody would be thrilled he's doing that, but I also don't think they would complain that he was doing it for somebody he was trying to save. And Buck's just like, I'll hold my breath. And, like, then we finally see the sprinklers go off, and Buck's kind of, like, trying to save himself with the guy. But then we also see, like, Eddie and, I believe, Bobby and probably honestly, everybody is there. And it's, like, such a breathtaking scene, especially since, like,
when they first show them coming in, and it's like you see Eddie be like behind the mask, you can tell it's Eddie, and then you see everyone else, and it's just like, of course. And it's like, Eddie was the first to arrive. It's like, of course he was the first to arrive. Anyway, but
And honestly, Buck needed this, like, to work off, like, everything that he's going through right now, and to kind of, like, work through that anger, honestly. Like, he kind of needed something like that, but to see, like, them show up, it's just like, ah, I love this. I have no words. Yeah, I love
it. That's probably one of my favorite scenes of the episode, is them coming to save.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I think, like, non-flashbacks, I really like this one, and then also like them being like in the beginning when they're just like, this explains so much about you, and I'm just like, yep, okay,
those are my two favorites.
Yeah, literally. But honestly, no, I might take that bet, because the next scene, or like part of the next scene, is my favorite, because it's when he's sitting at the ambulance talking to Bobby and Hen. But after this is like kind of my favorite, and like Buck is just like saying how he got lost, and like he didn't know where he was standing, like 2 minutes after him. Bobby's just like saying how it's amazing there, and
I'm very glad no one was yelling at him.
And I like how Hen was just like, and nobody's surprised that you stayed in their book, and he's like, I almost gave up if you guys haven't come in, and Hen's just like, but we did, and we always will, and I love that. But my next, this is my actually my favorite, because I love when Athena comes up, and Athena's just like, they said it was a big one, they weren't kidding, and Bobby's just like, firefighter Buckley here pulled out the very last victim, and Athena's just like, of course he did, and Buck's like, yeah, then everyone else had to pull me out. And Athena, I love this line so much. She's just like, well, I'm sure whoever you saved is glad you were being Buck. And Buck's just like, I don't even know what that means. And Athena's like, you never give up. That's what being Buck means to me. But whatever you do, don't stop. And I was like, oh, I love this. I love that moment, like, so much.
Validation in himself.
Yeah.
Because he was feeling like so invalidated, so worthless, honestly. And honestly, especially since they'd butted heads, especially when he first started out. Mm-hmm. And having her just go, no, you don't stop being Buck anytime soon.
Like, yes, because they've come a long way, like, honestly, and stuff.
Grant Nash parents.
Yes. No, everyone says this, and I agree.
Where's the lie?
Athena and Bobby are literally, like, basically his parents. Like, his parents, because we avoid his actual parents, because they're not
our parents.
We just pretend they're not his parents, and these are his, like, adoptive parents or something. Like, this is his real family. And stuff. But, yeah. Yeah, and then I like the next scene, too. And stuff. Buck and Bobby come back in the battalion vehicle, and Eddie's just standing there like the boyfriend he is. Like, okay, like, we know it. Yeah.
I love this.
He just had to show off.
Yeah.
He's just standing there, and he's like, well, and Bobby's like, clean bill of health from the docs, and he's like, glad to hear it. And I love this particular part, because, like, Bobby walks away, and Eddie just looks at Buck and goes, show off.
He's
like, I had to do it. And he's like, I know you did. You got some visitors. I loved how he was just like, he's not scoldy. He's not anything like that. He's just like, I know you did. Of course he knows he did. It's a book.
Right.
Yeah. And of course, his parents show up. Like, I guess, give him credit for showing up.
First time in their lives.
True.
Anyhow,
long story short, basically, Buck, like, kind of tells him he's sorry about Daniel, and they say that they don't blame Buck for Daniel, which, I mean, it's about damn time you, like, said something. His parents basically say that they would go to therapy with him, and I'm like, okay, I mean, that's a start. I mean, I still, like,
it took you 29 years to deal with whatever happened back then.
The thing where I'm feeling is that I feel like this episode, their whole goal was almost for us to kind of like the parents, but that kind of did the complete opposite for me. Like, I don't hate them, but I also don't love them. I feel like I have the same, like, feelings to them as I do for Eddie's parents.
I feel a little bit better about them than I do with Eddie's parents, only because Eddie's parents keep constantly wanting Chris to take Eddie's Chris from Eddie. Eddie's
parents suck. And Buck's parents suck. They suck in different ways and for different reasons,
yeah,
but they
maybe
suck.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, but I still don't like either of them, is what my whole point.
I feel sorry for what they went through, but that does not mean I like them one bit. And that's I'm talking about Buck's parents.
Oh, yeah.
His parents don't have an excuse.
Yeah, I agree. Them. No, they don't have an excuse. Like, what did they go through? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Why we needed that childhood.
Yeah. We need it for so many reasons. But yeah, I think it's a common consensus that most people don't like the parents even after this, and understandably so, and we could all like not like them together.
Yes, bonding exercises.
Yeah, but yeah, Buck is of course still mad at Maddie, and Chimney is like, well, if you can forgive your parents, then you can forgive her. And it's just like, it's valid for him to be mad,
but he has to move through it at some point. Like, yeah. I told a grudge until I die. Because I'm that kind of person.
But it's also at
the same time, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also because Buck doesn't know the story, the real reason of why she didn't go after she gave him the keys of the Jeep. He doesn't know, like, why. He doesn't know, like, obviously at this rate he does know about the abuse, but he doesn't really know, like, back then what it was.
Yeah.
And stuff, because that's, like, when it was first starting. Like, obviously he knows there's something going on there, but, like, he was also still, like, he was old enough to understand, but he was also still, like, in his young 20s.
Yeah.
So, it's hard. And stuff. And he's also never been through that, so, like, he couldn't really put his finger on it, even if he knew that there was something not great happening there. But yeah, Chim comes home, and I feel like I kind of got the vibe the book was with him. I feel like that was pretty, like, put in there.
They weren't going to leave it unresolved for the rest of the episode.
And I would hope not. Came
to a close. So it's like, okay, it feels like he'd be there.
Yeah, exactly. And like, so like, then like Buck shows up, and Buck tells Maddie that he forgave, like, their parents, because he's like, the thing is, like, not really, because it's hard. Like, he says that, like, it's hard to feel betrayed by someone that you didn't really count on, but it's easy to lash out on the person, you know, is always going to forgive you. And I'm like, that is like the best way to. It's so true. It's the best way to say something like that, because, like, obviously she's always been there for him, so, like, it's easy for her or for him to blame her just because, like.
And obviously that would make him feel more betrayed, because, you know, they were supposed to always have each other's backs and stuff. So I don't blame him for still being mad, but it's just kind of like, okay, you're at the point where you kind of need to get through this.
Yeah.
Like, work it out with her. Like, you're okay being mad, but maybe take the anger off of her a little bit.
Yeah, and I kind of got the vibe that it had been like a couple days.
Yeah.
At least a day or two. Like, I just kind of like, the fire was, it was almost like the, it was like that day, but also they gave off the feeling that this was like maybe the morning after or the day.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to tell, but like, I think he, like, had enough time to, like, sulk and, like, be angry and kind of feel that. And honestly, being angry is exhausting. Like, sometimes you could be mad at somebody, but you eventually cave because you're just like, I hate feeling like this. Like, I just can't feel like this anymore.
It's quite exhausting.
As someone who was pissed off this morning, I wasn't, like, buck mad, but I was very pissed off this morning. So I was kind of just like, okay, I'm done. Buck. Buck, I love this part. This is, like, such a full circle moment, because Buck asks Maddie to tell him about Daniel, and she's just like, because, like, obviously he can't ask his parents So, like, Maddie's like, okay, yeah, I can do that. And, like, Buck sees Maddie's baby box, which is another full circle moment. And he's like, tell me the truth. I don't have one of these, do I? And Maddie, like, was like, hold on a second. And she goes and gets, like, a bag full of the pictures. And I think some of the postcards were in there. Mm-hmm. And Buck's just like, mm-hmm. But when you left Doug, you only had two suitcases. And Maddie's like, and everything that mattered the most was inside them. No matter how hard it got, I always had these. I always had you. And the flashbacks to the end, it was mostly Maddie and Buck, and a lot of it, they actually did like almost like a montage of the Pinky Squares, which I really liked. And I liked like seeing like the different flashbacks, and like just even like when she first showed up in LA, I really liked everything they put in this. Like, I feel like Eddie's montages were like of like him and Chris, and like him and Buck, like it was very buddy. Where this is like very Maddie and Buck, which I liked.
Like, some of the montages for Eddie were also like Shannon oriented, but we forget that because like she's dead.
We're like, but okay, we see one buddy thing, and we're just like, okay, this is a buddy moment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but this was very like importantly Maddie and Buck oriented, and like we love that.
Oh yeah, love that. I really liked this episode. Like, I think I was a little hesitant like about how I felt about it like after it aired, but then I watched it a few times and I was like, okay, I really like this episode. Like, it ranks well. Like, not top tier like Eddie, but it definitely ranks.
It's number two.
Yeah, it's my number two for Begins episodes.
I agree. Eddie's is my number two. One.
That is why I think we did Eddie Begins first, because we wanted to do it first, and then Buck Begins right behind it.
Yeah, we kind of did do that. Like, let's be real.
Well, and I think, you know, you're talking about in Eddie Begins. Eddie Begins was focusing on, Eddie was realizing that he had more people in his life that cared about him besides his kid and his parents. And for Buck, it was, he needed to know that he had a sister still.
Like, she's still there for him and everything. Right. So it was, basically, I think the summary of the episode, that explains a lot of that book.
Yeah, it so does. It so does.
That's my favorite thing about it, is, like, it does explain him, like, the reason why the, like, it took him so long to find his path is because, like, he was kind of, like, put on this earth to, like, save people, and that's what he did, even though like, he didn't really necessarily know about it in the beginning until 29 years later, and even though it was technically not successful, like, it's just why he ended up saving like hundreds, thousands more lives. So
which, you know, I just literally thought of this, but it was kind of like Bobby in season one, because Bobby in season one had that book. And he was trying to make up for all the lives that were lost in the apartment fire. And when he found out about having the blood disorder, or, I don't know, the good blood that could save children, it was like he finally had something to live for. And I think that was Buck. It's like he'd had such a rocky start, like, but now this just kind of shows he really was meant to help people. And mm-hmm. that he's worth more than just being like a kid for parts.
Yeah,
precisely.
Yeah, so I mean, for the character and for what was needed, this was a really good episode.
Yeah.
And I like the Begins episodes that, I know we haven't talked about the other ones, but I like the Begins episodes that alternate between past and current present day stories, because I think you can get really deep into like the backstory, and you get like a whole episode that's all about the past, and that can really, I don't know, it doesn't sometimes play along with the storyline in the show.
Yeah, so, I mean, it can work in some instances, but some instances it's good, which is, I think, is why the Eddie and Buck Begins are kind of, I would say, their most popular episodes, just because it does do a good job of showing us what's happening currently, but also giving us flashbacks that kind of connect to those moments.
Yeah.
And there are only a few episodes in which you have that. Like Begins episodes, and I think that's like Hen, Chim, and Bobby. Bobby Begins Again. Athena is like a little bit half in present, half in past. Mm-hmm. Like, it alternates a bit as well. But yeah. I really think that's why they're so popular, because it's like,
yeah,
it's less like suddenly being shuffled into a time machine,
right?
Someone's memories instead.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, memories as they're going along in their current life, you know.
Thank you guys so much for joining us and listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Anchor. We're also on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts, and almost anywhere where podcasts can be found. On iTunes, please rate us and leave us a review. It would mean a lot to us. You guys can also follow us on our podcast socials at 91LS Roundup on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And on Instagram, we're trying to do lives more, so you definitely should follow us. Just going to put that out there. Like, if you're going to follow us anywhere, Instagram is the place to be.
Yep.
But I want to come to our Discord, please.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Follow us also on Discord and stuff. The link will be in the description of this podcast and in our Instagram bio. And you guys can follow me, Katie, at Full of Tarlos on Instagram and at For Love of Tarlos on Twitter.
You can follow me, Grace, at RonanRafa911 on Instagram and at CheapGirl31 on Twitter.
You can follow me, EJ, at EJ8302 on Instagram and Twitter. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.